Donald Trump's presidential campaign? It was his frequent unbridled slaps at Wall Street elites and arrogant job-busting corporate executives that gave him the populistic patina he needed to win. But wait a minute. Who are those guys escorting the Donald into the Oval Office? Oh my God, they're Wall Street elites and arrogant corporate executives. Trump campaigned on the theme of remaking Washington by, quote, draining the swamp of pay-to-play corporate favoritism and cronyism. But those swamp critters are the very ones who are buying favors from the president-to-be by putting up tens of millions of dollars to pay for his inaugural extravaganza and his transition operation. The transition team itself, which is literally shaping and staffing our next national government, is a viper's nest of pay-to-play corporate interests. The teams setting up the various agencies and writing their agendas are dominated by top operatives from anti-worker corporations and from the same Wall Streeters whose casino-style speculation crashed our economy in 2007 and crushed the middle class. Now, they're on the inside, deciding who will fill more than 4,000 executive positions and run our government. Some 850 of these corporate high rollers and lobbyists huddled with Trump himself in early December for a fundraiser at a posh Manhattan restaurant to pay for putting together his government and theirs. The room was filled with moneyed elites like Paul Singer, the hedge fund billionaire and extremist laissez-faire ideologue. These are not people who are going to finance any sort of working-class populism, but instead, they intend to use the Donald's victory to impose a plutocracy over America. This is Jim Hightower saying, far from draining the Washington swamp, Trump is turning it into an exclusive jacuzzi for the rich.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
How do the seasons play effect in our everyday lives? How can we use the naturally occurring cyclical season as a reflection of our own lives? These are deeper questions that we can ask ourselves if we choose to during this time of the year. How does the natural world have an effect on our lives? I mean, we are a part of it after all. Tonight, Katrina will be joining us. Path of the Wild Healer will share with us the connections that she has found with our culture to a more natural world, how to use a winter season as a time of tending our inner landscape of self, and some questions to possibly pose to yourself as you look forward to what is coming on the horizon of your own life into this next 2016. Wow, it's hard to believe it's already 2016. So you can give us a call if you have something to add to the conversation. The number is 530-895-1114. You can also post on the Facebook page if you like. That's also an option. And we are going to get this show started with a song from a friend. Would you like to intro the song, Katrina?
Yeah. Samuel Gray Edmondson. He is a talented tracker, musician, storyteller, extremely gifted storyteller, and this song is from his album called Two Ravens.
Beautiful.
Your bones and shake your mind. Now that you've sought her, when you're lost, she will find the open road to what's inside. Like rivers, a road will bend before it slows. Across the divide, a stranger resides. Sky. Give pause and linger at her feet. Mm-hmm.
forest when the day is in decline. The dark and cold may scare you blind. But then with sureness you will rise and you will find that glowing stones are sown through time. A snake as it grows will shed skin to expose the layer inside, no longer to hide. With no need to try, the shape is implied. Dig down and sing before you sleep.
Century is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Burchard Construction, specializing in custom remodels, new home, and commercial building from foundation to finish work. Picard Construction, where the homeowner's input matters to ensure a professional, reliable, and quality result. Custom construction with beauty and function. For bids and consultations, call Adam Picard at 864-5427 or visit picardconstruction.com, and that name is spelled B-I-R-C-H-A-R-D, construction.com. All right, so you are tuned to FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. You're listening to Love in the 21st Century, and we are talking about love and nature connection, especially during this winter time of the year, especially looking forward to this new year that's coming. That's actually what inspired this conversation to begin. I'm fortunate enough to have Katrina as a friend, and we have been having these conversations about what time of year we are in this time of winter when we're looking inward, and how that, you know, impacts where we're at currently and what we are transitioning into. And she had such a beautiful way of sharing with me a new way to start to look forward, which includes looking back. So I'm so excited that you're here, Katrina.
Yay! Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And so we decided that it would be best to start this conversation with a broader picture of what we're talking about when we're just talking about a nature connection and the seasons, because with some of the folks that we work with, we have maybe a general idea of an association with the winter seasons and how that affects our daily lives. But in reality, we live in a world that's so disconnected, so dismembered from that nature. We know we are often thinking how we're not connected to it. You know, we have to go to nature. And one of my favorite things I've heard before is, we are nature. So to remember that.
Absolutely.
So, Katrina, if you wouldn't mind starting us there and kind of helping to draw that picture of what it looks like having a nature connection to the elements.
Beautiful. So, wow, how long was it? November, we had some pretty impressive thunderstorms roll in. It was beautiful. Crazy colors of autumn. An electrical storm came in. The rains came. The wind came. And in that one windstorm, all the leaves fell from the trees. So this is after a couple months of the acorns and the walnuts, like the nuts are dropping. And then there goes fall. And then here we are with the bare, naked skeleton of the trees. So we've gathered the harvest, and just yesterday I drove up the canyon and there was snow, and it is definitely winter. And so in the idea of the new year, looking forward to for the year to come, we, with syncing up with the rhythm of the season, the rhythm of nature, is that the energies are going inward to our roots. And in the winter, the solstice, the holiday, Hanukkah, all of it, like we're going inward to our roots, to our family. It's a time where things slow down and we cozy up by the fire and we have an opportunity to reflect on our year, to look at what were our goals or our North Star, what did we make manifest in the year. And so after those leaves fall and the rains come and the nuts fall, things start to decompose and they break down. And that like threshold time between autumn and winter, it's messy, it's muddy, it's cold, it's getting everywhere, and things are getting broken down and tossed around and drug in the house. And and at the same time as these things are breaking down and decomposing, what's coming up but new, fresh, green grass? Maybe some of you have been outside and have walked through the park. I wonder what you might have seen recently. I know I just saw some miner's lettuce popping up, and the husks of the buckeyes have broken open and rotted away, and inside is just this beautiful, shiny, just gem of a buckeye inside. And so here's the biological rhythm of what's happening in nature and then what's happening with us in our psyche. Like there is no separation. Like right. Here's our mind, here's our psyche, here's the landscape. So then as we walk on the landscape in this time, as these rhythms are happening, those rhythms are also happening inside us. As we walk on the land through the landscape, noticing certain whatever it may be, a tree, a rock, a bird, these start to speak to our subconscious mind in the form of like metaphor. And then what's coming for us in this time is the inner tracking, the outer tracking, the inner tracking. There's no separation. And so, like, I'll just speak for me. It's like, what's up? This is a hard time. It's cold. I'm really... sometimes I feel alone. I have no choice but to look at myself, look at my year, look at what's been hard, what needs to be processed still, like whether it's nuts that need to be processed or if it's certain things that have happened in my life recently or a long time ago. And so the difficult, like we kind of become naked with ourselves, whether it's our anger or our grief, those edges that we're going to have for the rest of our lives that we'll be tending to gracefully, sanding down to round out. And so this time of gathering and harvesting, gathering around with family or around the fire, when we look back and reflect and break down and decompose and let it all shake off and process and do the work, we're able to clear the energy and get things out of our way, out of our minds, create space in our hearts to let whatever healing take place that needs to take place. And then we do it in community. And so in this way, we're tending to our own inner fire, our creative fire, to like get a fresh start for the year to come and have, you know, set your North Star, your goals, your objectives. And then we also do this inclusively with our family or our community, loved ones, or just quite literally the regional extended family, and gather around a fire and tend to our sacred fire of the community. And in so doing, then we're also in relationship still with the rhythm of the season and the landscape, bringing those stories home. How does the metaphor from our experience on the land, or how do we catch the stories from being on the land, how does that serve us in our lives and in our process and how we move forward from here?
Absolutely. So that's a very great picture of what is exactly happening right now in this seasonal change. And I remember earlier when we were talking about sort of our connection in our modern society with the connection to nature and how that sort of plays out. So this is the time of year that we're in, of like harvesting and seasons, you know, the
the natural cycle is in a sort of a death cycle. It's harvesting, and it's also going into a place where it's going to be building up for its next cycle, which is spring, which is, you know, birth and growing. So could you speak a little bit about how that relationship works?
Yeah. So if we look at the times in our lives, like the seasons, within the seasons, we can look at other elements, like let's say the directions, mm-hmm. and different indigenous cultures and native cultures around the world have a different association for each direction. So like the medicine wheel, let's say that when we come into the world, it's like the sunrise, the springtime, it's the welcome, it's youth. And then as we move around the season to the south, it's this youthful, energetic, playful time in our lives. And then we move to the west, and a time of youth, and also a time of like stepping forward in career or being of service. And let's say that would be the summertime,
mm-hmm.
or that would be the fall. And then moving into the north would be the winter. It would be a time of our elders, and a time of teachings of spiritual advisors, and where between the north and east, between the death and the birth, or the life that comes out of the death, that diversity, that mystery, that big bang of a seed becoming saturated and sprouting out its first cotyledon leaves. And there's mystery there, and that suspense, that stationing. And historically, I mean, even in my life, I was raised to respect our elders, and we would sit around and the elders would tell stories. And it was a bit strict, speak when you're spoken to type of deal. And it was totally such a rich time. And in the course of my life, I've watched the birth. I mean, maybe not birth, but just how elders all of a sudden became illegal. Their name was changed to senior citizen. And a senior citizen is a legal term. So then we objectify people who would be in the North Shield. And just a quick story. When I was working with the Grub Education Program for the Cultivating Community North Valley Grant, there were some elders who reached out who wanted to give plants away because they were moving. They were transitioning in their life out of their home. And the way that this woman said it, she said, I need somebody to take care of these plants because I can't take them with me. I'm going to this human warehouse. I'm going to a warehouse where they store old people. So we put senior citizens away. I mean, I'm sure everybody has their reasons, but the point is like, we don't want to look at death. We don't want to look at what's hard to see. We don't want to feel what's difficult to feel. And the wisdom carriers that are going to call us out and give us that tough love and guide us in our lives because they've lived so much, they are then put away. So then we live in some kind of, I don't know, I wouldn't say amnesia, but where there's an element that's missing. And so in our development, in our honoring of transitions of life and death, the North, this time of year is difficult.
Absolutely. The whole concept that you were sharing about slowing down, it's like we think about our modern society, and I think about for myself how I have consciously made a deliberate effort to slow my life down, and it's still like not very slow because our society, our cultural society that we live in, is driven to produce at all times, at all costs, you know, whether or not it's a time for us to be thinking about our own health or the health of others. It's not really what is of importance to the mass production in our society, unfortunately, the truth. And when you talked about the different directions in the seasons, when you compare that to the world that we live in, speaking specifically to the United States, we are stuck in a perpetual youth-driven society.
Absolutely.
So to have, you know, what you're bringing up about the elderly and how we house them, I mean, it's very, very true. Like, it's an unfortunate truth about our culture that it's an accepted reality. And as we even look at other age groups in our culture, you know, youth are even, to a certain point, contained until they are in a production mode. Like children, like we are very youth focused, but we're youth focused because of an age possibility, because of like the, you know, ability to produce and to look in a certain way. But kids from the age, you know, up until like 16 or 18 are pretty much kept in school or education. It's a normality to keep even younger kids in childcare up until that, you know, they can go to school so that the parents can be working. And so we're really just more focused on those, I guess those two directions would be the east and the south, right?
Maybe the south, maybe the
south and the west.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yes.
Yeah, and maybe not even many people move into service mm-hmm. of being in the West. And something that struck me by what you just said is this, the human development.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does our psyche evolve and grow into its next life stage? How does it transition from one, let's say, one direction, one shield, to the next shield?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when we're in these human constructed environments with little to no connection with nature, not
right.
just recreation or information about nature, but to like connect deeply and be tapping in into the metaphor, let's say.
Right.
And so then I just see that in our culture, that youthful adolescent mental landscape is what many of our congressmen and presidential candidates are stuck in. Like I see adolescent behavior. I'm not seeing a mature humanity. And yeah, so this perpetual focus on youth and mm-hmm. not stepping into maturity, not facing where we are in the wheel of life, or honoring transitions, or processing the like emotional landscape.
Right. Absolutely. And what you're sharing is like having me think about, you know, the average teenager will say growing up in a urban environment versus one that's growing up in a more rural environment, or one that has exposure to that, and just the difference in terms of realizing that we are nature and not machines, and the inner psyche process and how that works out, how we think, oh, you know, like I'm supposed to have the answer, I'm supposed to just be like, you know, be able to operate just like any other computer, but we're not computers.
Yeah, we're not machines.
Yeah.
We're a body of systems.
Mm-hmm.
And just one quick thing about the urban setting is there are dandelions popping up through the cracks. The will to live is strong. There
yes.
is bird language everywhere.
Yes.
And like, what are people noticing about those pigeons?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just in the city, actually, and I was noticing the pigeons there. And the girl that I was hanging out with, she's 14, and we were talking about, you know, what types of animals survive in human environments. Because when we really think about it, we're all used to seeing certain types of animals. And, I mean, we all hopefully have an understanding that there's a vast, large majority more out there in the, you know, in the wild that don't even come to, you know, where humans inhabit. But just like, what is it about these animals that choose to be, you know, near or around sort of these human environments we've created?
Yeah, I would say they're extremely adaptive and wily. Yeah. And in my mind, I have these pictures of deers blocking the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, or coyotes getting on the subway in Portland, or oh my God.
So amazing.
Yeah, totally. And
so excited.
Oh my God. Yeah, and what animals come near us. I just, yeah, I'm going to hold that thought.
Okay, awesome. We're something to think about while we're moving forward. And when you're saying that, I'm thinking of also of some of the animals that are out there in the world that use some of the human waste to make their own habitat. Like, thank you. Thanks for, like, using, like, things that we're wasting and, like, creating a destructed earth, unfortunately, in some senses, to in a recycled manner. Like, they're leading the way in some ways for us to see that we don't need to just waste our things.
Right. And the incredible diversity that comes in edge zones. Like, humans create disturbed areas or edge zones, and mm-hmm. then more. And, like, you'll have greater diversity, like, around even farms or mm-hmm. even the city.
Absolutely. So if you're just tuning in, this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. You are listening to Love in the 21st Century. I am the host, Tamara. I'm talking with Katrina Dzhebiroff, Path of the Wild Healer, about love and nature connection. And we're painting the picture here for what it looks like to look at our lives in a seasonal outlook, and then so that we can have a conversation about the specific season we're in winter, and what that means as we are looking forward to this new year that is just 2 days around the corner. 2 days, it's crazy. Can't believe it. So stay tuned for the rest of our conversation. If you have something to add to the conversation, feel free to give us a call, 895-1114. Also, can look us up on the Facebook page, Love in the 21st Century.
Public education used to be, you know, public, as in an essential societal investment for the betterment of all, paid for by all through school taxes. In addition to privatization schemes to turn education over to corporate profiteers, public schools themselves have steadily been perverting the idea of free education into one of, quote, fee education. This is a product of the budget-slashing frenzy imposed on our schools in the past 15 years or so by coke-headed anti-public ideologues and unimaginative, acquiescent education officials. Beset by budget cuts, too many school systems are accommodating the slashers by shifting the cost of educating America's future from the general society to the parents of students who are presently enrolled. Want to play a sport, take a class trip to a museum, or participate in a debate tournament? Pay a fee. Want art, music, drama, or other cultural courses? Pay a fee. Need a uniform? Pay a fee. And now comes a new level of monetizing public education. The ubiquitous yellow school bus. Yes, just getting to and from school is increasingly being treated not as a necessary public service, but as a private luxury to be billed to the families of students. Districts in California, Colorado, Hawaii, Indiana, Massachusetts, Texas, and elsewhere are charging around $400 a year per child. For the poor and downwardly mobile middle class, that's a real hit. Yet another barrier to educational access for America's majority. What's next? A daily debit card deduction for kids to enter a classroom? This is Jim Hightower saying, if our society won't even pay for bus rides, how are we going to get to the future we want for our children? It's time to reject the small-minded budget slashers, reinvest fully in public education, and get America moving again.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
If you're just tuning in, this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. This is Love in the 21st Century. I'm your host, Tamara, talking with Katrina Dzhebiroff about nature connection. And here's a little disclaimer for you. The opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. So, we were just talking about how the connection between the seasons play out in our lives and how they do or don't, depending on how connected you are to a natural environment. And Katrina was helping us to visualize, or helping me to visualize, some ways that nature is coming to the more urban places. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
So I was hoping we could jump more into the conversation about this specific season that we're in right now, and talking about how this is an opportunity to start looking forward, but also looking back. So could you talk a little bit about maybe some of the processes that you're working with?
Yeah, I'd love to. Last year, I was introduced to the renewal of Creative Path, which is a practice that was introduced through a program, an immersion program I was with Weaving Earth, and they're closely sister school, daughter school to the Eight Shields. And John Young, you may know him. I'll let you guys look it up. But he's a naturalist and has worked with different elders on three different continents, and the renewal of Creative Path, my understanding, if I may I retell it well, is that the teachings came from a Mohawk leader, Jake Swamp, and it is the renewal of Creative Path. It is an important week-long practice of renewal, of giving thanks for the gifts of the last year and preparing for the year to come. And so this would happen on the individual level and then would come together in community to share. And yeah, Eight Shields, if you go to Eight Shields PDX, they are having a renewal of Creative Path gathering, I guess, maybe January 2nd or 3rd. If you want to find some more information, it's there. And you can find more information about the renewal of Creative Path. And so this is a tool that I'm using now for the second year. And it's broken up into, I mean, it's not broken up. It's divided into eight sections, eight steps. And there's a certain like container that you can set. And the way that I've been doing it is laying out the questions that have me looking just one at a time, and where I can look back on my life. Like one example is I just finished step three. And so tracking patterns of synchronicity and the help of nature. So one of the questions is, when have you experienced synchronicity in your life? And then I journal about it. And then there's another question, and like, what patterns are recurring in dreams? So just tracking what those patterns are, what connections to animals have I had over and over again, and what are the stories from the family that talk about this over the generations, and what patterns are forming out of me answering these questions? And the beautiful thing that I've been discovering with this particular step that I'm on right now is, what are the stories in my family? I don't remember anybody telling any stories. So then there's Susan Chudy. Like, are there any stories? Maybe there were stories that were told by my great-grandparents that I don't remember. And so then that just invited a conversation. I called my parents, and some stories came, but it wasn't at all what I expected.
Right.
So those are some examples of some of the questions.
And what's interesting for me when you talk about stories, and I remember first looking at this and thinking about the stories, and I think we were at another gathering together called Way of Counsel, where we were learning how to facilitate that process. And one of the things we were to do was to tell the story of our names. And in thinking about that process, it got me thinking about how many stories there are in our lives, and like the stories that we tell. So maybe not necessarily the stories that our family or like, you know, our loved ones or, you know, friends shared with us as we grew up, but like, how do we explain the story of our lives? Like, when we think about like the story of being a kid, the story of having siblings, the story of our parents, like, it's usually the same story that we're telling people. Like, this is my story, like, this is what happened when I grew up, you know. And so how we tell those stories sort of, you know, creates us in that, and sort of taking those stories apart, I think having an opportunity to really think about the different things that maybe we want in those stories, things we don't want in those stories, and how we actually have power of choice in how we tell the story.
Exactly. The power of our language, and how when we look back and process or decompose, yes, the gems that we pull out changes our perspective, our lens, we change our glasses, and then the story that we tell changes, and we're the storytellers. We create our story. What story will you tell? Like, yes, oh, that's done. I don't need to carry that crap around with me anymore.
Right.
That's part of who I am, and I own it, and now I'm choosing where I go from here.
Absolutely. So this process of renewal of creative path is helping to take a look back over the last year to pull out these gems, and also to see the patterns. What is the benefit? And, you know, to play the devil's advocate, I guess, what is the benefit of looking back, especially when we're looking forward? I mean, a lot of us are like planning for the next year and ready, like making our long resolution list or short resolution list and our plans for the future. And we're just sort of like, you know, blindly, in a sense, moving forward. So what do you see as the benefit of incorporating the creative path?
Gosh, the list of questions come into my mind. It's just like flooding my mind. It's hard to think. What's the benefit? Well, let's say you don't look back. Mm-hmm. Let's say I don't look back, and it's just big and kind of heavy. If I choose not to process what's coming up for me, if I choose to not learn from the mistakes I've made, I will be confronted by those same lessons. Mm-hmm. And I can leave a situation, I can leave a relationship, I can leave the state, I can leave the country, and I can run from it. And it's not going to do any good, because that pattern is with me. So until I turn around and face it and look at myself in the mirror, or in the mirror of my mind, and look at it, lean into the discomfort and see what emerges. And what are the obstacles in the way of what I want? What are these patterns that are holding me back, keeping me down? Why does this thing keep coming up? And I would invite you to form questions that start with words other than why, because why is linear.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
instead of why, what would be a potential other way to phrase the question that you might say, like, why did this tremendously terrible thing happen?
Yeah. What is my heart needing for healing right now? I notice that I avoid attraction and I follow the linear, logical decision-making of what I should do, and have a very planned and structured life. And I what is it about that structure that makes me feel safe? And I feel safe because I put up walls and I keep myself in a protective, safe space, kind of curled up in a ball, where I'm not exposing my heart. I'm not listening to my body and what it wants, that it's attracted or drawn to a certain practice or a certain place or to a certain person. And it's like the world has gotten turned around backwards and inside out. Mm-hmm. And so instead of why, it's like, oh, you fell. Why'd you fall? I fell on a banana. Why was the banana there? Well, I don't know. You know, it's just like, why, the why of the child. So the
yes,
what.
Yes, that's exactly where my mind went, the why question.
Yeah, so those are just examples of it's like making the unconscious conscious. Like there's something I keep coming up against. I can't see it. It's in my blind spot. There's an opportunity here with questions like this, or in the renewal of creative path, or reaching out to mentors or people you look up to, your elders or people who can anchor you and who can hold you and or hold space for you, like cook them dinner or share what's happening, or they'll call you up one day maybe and give you some tough love, and like the message is love and it's ethics, and like I'm not seeing you be congruent with your, you know, with your commitment, or you made a commitment and you're not following through on this commitment, like what's going on for you? Or so it's we like even just the relationship that we have with ourselves is much too big for just us. Like right. Our relationship, you and I, or let's say the relationship I have with my would-be boyfriend right here, that this relationship that me and my beloved have is far too big for just the two of us. So we need the community.
Mm-hmm.
And we, the process of coming back to council, of gathering together or in community or around renewal of the renewal of creative path, is that we share what's up for us, and by we share and it goes around the circle and other people share what's up for them.
Mm-hmm.
We start seeing these patterns and we realize, oh God, this is helping us to remember how to be human. This isn't just happening to me. There isn't something wrong with me. This is a part of a pattern of the mind. This is part of a pattern of this phase of life. This is a part of pattern of development. This is just part of what it means to be alive.
Right.
And we forget. It's like, don't talk to one another about these things. It's a way, it's intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And like just going back to the silly heart example, which I mean, there's some truth in there of we crave intimacy and we're scared to death of it. And we have to put our guard down and trust and stop telling put the stop on the reel that's looping whatever story in our mind, and to trust and to open up and be vulnerable and authentic and to share intimate things about ourselves. Like, that's what we do. That's what we're designed to do. And somewhere along the line, we were taught that that wasn't okay. Or we got hurt and we shut down and closed up really tight and have put up walls and
have become fearful of that very thing.
Totally.
And just even as you're saying that, just thinking about, you know, how the real vulnerability in, you know, in owning some of our own, you know, stuff that's going on, and what you were saying about being able to share, you know, the reflection back in the past, looking back over this last year, seeing the patterns that are emerging, maybe seeing some of the patterns that you really want to change. That's why you're looking at your year in review, and being able to share that with other people, you know, that I think for some would be very challenging. Mm-hmm. To be able to share their, especially the things that they're not so proud of, the
right.
things that they look back and they're like, oh wow, that's a terrible pattern, and they might want to keep it to themselves and would rather do that than share. But that accountability factor of being able to share with other people, and how much it will help you to move forward, because there's somebody else that knows, somebody else that's looking at that too now, instead of you alone. And really, you know, being vulnerable in that, and how scary it can be sometimes to really just speak your own truth and, you know, and speak what you're seeing, but how much it's really, you know, what we all really want.
Yeah. I'm just going to take a quick little second to model, because there, my heart is needing some healing in my life. And just to say, like, I'm finding my way through life, and I'm making mistakes, and people trigger me, and I trigger people, and a gem that I learned recently was I projected onto someone else that, wow, they gave up really quick. Are they really going to give up that easy? Mm-hmm. And then I had to look at myself like, oh, whoa, it got hard. I was going to give up that easy. How long have I had that pattern? And to then use that and keep it with me in, wow, I'm going to make it known that I'm stepping forward and making an effort, a big effort, and I'm standing forward to, like, I'm not going to give up so easy, and I'm going to put myself out there, and I'm going to be seen, and I'm going to use my voice, and I'm going to make mistakes, and I'm going to get called out, and it's going to be embarrassing, and I may feel shame, but then I'm going to look at that story of, where does that shame come from? What story am I telling that I'm getting, like, ostracized or cast out or cut off? Like, this relationship is over. I'm judged. Like, wow, girl, I'm going to look at myself. I'm going to look at my relationship to myself and love on myself and help me to grow and to become more holy who I am. And I don't know who's all listening out there in Radio Landia. I'm hoping my friend down in Ojai is listening. And wow, I'm being intimate and vulnerable mm-hmm. with you. Like, I am so human, and it's really scary, and life is too short.
Yes.
It's too short. So I'm just going to be upfront and real about who I am and be intimate.
Yeah. Open up.
Yeah.
Share the things that are really coming to the surface. Ask yourself the difficult questions. And this is really a perfect time of the year to really be looking back and looking at those patterns of maybe when it was easier and when it was not so easy. But what patterns, just even without maybe specifically using the renewal of creative path model, but just looking back, like, what comes to mind when you think of the highlights of year? What comes to mind when you look at the sort of like the lower tides and the things maybe you would like to not see replicated in the coming year? What power do you have over those things? Like, maybe those are things out of your control, and so maybe it's your response that you want to have a better response to them instead of just a reaction to life. Maybe you do have a lot of power and control over them, so you can actually, what steps do you want to take to influence the change you want to see in your life? This is a perfect time to be asking and sitting with those questions.
Yeah, even absolutely. And get some friends, get together, have a potluck. Or if, you know, like for me, I'm like, okay, let's get the ladies together and let's go have some tea and go on a wander. Or like the guys, go out. Like, it's so important to just share and mm-hmm. to relate and to remember. And so whatever it is, to reach out and ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, I'm having a hard time. I need to come over for dinner, or I want to lounge yeah. on your couch, or whatever. And it's okay.
It is.
It's okay.
It's totally human.
Totally.
We're all feeling those feelings at times, and how we can feel, like, just in my mind, I'm thinking about the difference between what I, you know, those I feel a connection with, and those that I don't necessarily feel a connection. When you were sharing, Katrina, it was reminding me of, like, when you're saying triggering people versus, you know, being triggered. And I think in myself, like, there are certain people in my life I know that I have felt a deeper connection quicker than I've had with other people. And I ask myself, why is that? And I, you know, for that, one of those reasons, very reasons, being that vulnerability piece of just getting real. Getting mm-hmm. real with it and saying the things that are really going on, getting vulnerable, being honest, like just saying what they need to say instead of what they think I want to hear.
Yeah.
And wow, how powerful that is to be like instant, like feel like that connection of like, yeah. I feel connected to this person now because they've gotten real with me, and they're not just like, oh, you know, sunshine and roses. All the time.
Right.
Because life isn't sunshine and roses.
It's not that way. And the beautiful part I love about what you said is the clarity in your mind and your heart to know where you were at, mm-hmm. and to feel the resonance and to tap into that connection. Like, if we're telling stories and are foggy in the mind, mm-hmm. we're not going to be able to have that clarity or right. like, what's mine, what's yours?
Right. Those are all such fun questions. Fun questions to think about. Oh, man. Such a great conversation. If you're just tuning in, this is FM 91.1 KZFR Chico, listening to Love in the 21st Century. My name is Tamara. I'm your host, talking with Katrina Dzhebiroff about nature connection. And I want to spend our last few minutes together, though. We're having a really entertaining conversation about how the elements and the seasons have a reflection in our lives, whether we pay attention to them or not. We're going to move forward and talk a little bit about what is coming in this new year for Katrina specifically, and how you all out there in Radio Land can get involved if you so choose to. So, Katrina, would you mind kind of give it? We're going to paint another picture. We're going to share with our folks some things that are coming up and just some information of how to get involved.
Great. So recently, I finished an immersion program with Weaving Earth Center for Relational Education, and recently I've been going through a lot of changes. I'm currently unemployed, looking for work, really wanting something continuous and immersive like that program I was in here in Chico, and I'm not feeling it. And I've been carrying questions about where I am to be and if Chico's the place. And the commitment that I made with some of these community-supported educational fundraisers that I've run over the last year is that the community has really supported me on this path, and my commitment was to bring it back. It is to bring it back. And so instead of me, you know, questioning if this is the place that I am to be, to realize that if that's something that I want and that's a yearning that I have, then I'm to use my skills or my strengths or my gifts to cultivate an immersive and continuous culture of deep nature connection here in Chico. And so this is really scary for me. It's not solid. It's coming together. It's emerging, and it feels a bit like I'm not controlling it, but it's like kind of emerging out of me, and that's how my path with council has been. And
it sounds so much like nature.
Yeah.
We're not really the ones in control. We like to think so.
Right.
But we are just, you know, it's like planting a seed in a garden. Really, do we do the work? I mean, you know, it's like, kind of like, oh, you grow amazing tomatoes. And it's like, thank you.
Right. I didn't know. And then we need people in our world to point out what our gifts are. Mm-hmm. And so there's been some people sharing with me what some of my gifts are. And so it's coming together that so these practices and teachings and these bundles of skills that I have in my basket that I'm hauling around with this yearning I have, what do I do with it? And I can go out on my own, but then I'm not in that community context. And how do I continue to practice what I have integrated into me, but how do I become inclusive with the community and give it back? And I am totally fighting, just feeling the resistance and even saying it, is that I'm working on pulling together a calendar of events for deep nature connection in a community context. And I will be standing in the chair of mentor and facilitating. And what's coming together is I am dreaming. My vision is to incorporate what I'm learning by including others who are familiar with this kind of experiential education, wilderness connection, primitive skills, and so on, and use some of the models, the design models for some of these events. And so to get started, I'm dreaming on offering an easy hike, like a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. This isn't official yet, but this I'm just telling you what I'm dreaming on. To do a hike early in the morning, 7 to 8 a.m., arrive 15 minutes early, we'll leave right on time. And we'll go out and we'll wander and we'll practice some of these connective practices that I have been introduced to through the H-Shields and Weaving Earth. And so there'll be three opportunities in the day to come whenever. And then I am dreaming on offering a workshop on a Saturday, let's say, like a 3-hour workshop. And I'll do that. It's like a sliding scale. And so to get back to the rhythms, in the calendar year, there are 13 moons. In a season, there are 13 weeks. And I don't know if this is just kind of ironic or there's a reason. There's also 13 connective practices. So my dream is to have the 3 days a week option where people can jump in, jump off, low commitment, and then on Saturdays offer a 3-hour or so immersive workshop each Saturday, and to dive into one of the connective practices at a time. So let's say that's what we do on Saturday. And then the next week, we have Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to practice together.
Yes, it sounds like a beautiful picture to be a part of. And the phone is ringing, but if you are calling in, the number to call in is 895-1114. 895-1114. We just have a few minutes left together, so I want to make sure if people are interested in being a part of the idea of a more nature-based connection in their, you know, weekly lives, or just learning a little bit about it, or you already have some knowledge, how people can get connected with you.
Absolutely. Great. I have a blog, pathofthewildhealer.wordpress.com. You can find me on Facebook. I'm friends with KZFR. I'll do a little post on there so you can find me. And you can shoot me an email. And my email is katrina@grubchico.org. And the third component of this thing that I'm dreaming on is to also have a new moon, full moon potluck gathering so people can come and share stories and to further integrate and grow the culture here in the Chico area in an intentional way.
You've been listening to Love in the 21st Century on KZFR. This is KZFR FM 90.1 Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Ecotopia, looking into urban farming.
This is a great question, and